It's 7:45. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. As you may have already heard on the program this morning, former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has announced that he will seek the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. He joins a diverse field of candidates. O'Rourke is scheduled to attend political events in Iowa today, and he announced a campaign kickoff in El Paso on March 30th. Free speech on college campuses has been in the spotlight over the last couple of years, from neo-Nazis trying to speak at Texas A&M to protests that blocked a conservative speaker from an event at the University of California. Now, as KUT's Ben Philpott reports, Texas lawmakers are hoping to create a uniform speech policy for all public colleges and universities.
The bill would require campuses to create a new free speech policy that would define everything from where students are allowed to express their views publicly to rules on how speakers are selected and authorized to come to campus. Houston Republican Senator Joan Huffman filed the bill.
The policy must allow individuals to engage in expressive activities on campus and enable student organizations and faculty to invite speakers to speak on campus. The policy must establish disciplinary sanctions for students, student organizations, or faculties who unduly interfere with others' free speech rights.
Huffman says her office has worked with the state's colleges and universities to come up with a bill that could be supported by the schools while also achieving her goal of providing more protections for diverse opinions to be heard. In Austin, I'm Ben Philpott.
Many people are expressing dismay over New Mexico law enforcement agencies vowing not to follow the law when it comes to new gun safety legislation. Some thoughts from commentator Walt Rubel.
The Associated Press in Kansas organized a statewide test several years ago to see if government agencies were complying with open records laws. They requested public documents from the clerk, sheriff's office, and largest school district in every county in the state, then did a big story about who was not in compliance. Most of those public officials offered an excuse and promises to do better in the future. But a few sheriffs refused to turn over the documents, arrest reports, even after statewide reporting accompanied by finger-wagging editorials. They didn't deny that the reports were public record, but explained that they had a department policy against releasing them. Anybody who didn't like it could take them to court. Nobody did, meaning department policy set by the sheriff trumps state law passed by the legislature. That was when I got my first lesson in the power of the county sheriff, especially in rural areas. New Mexicans are getting that same lesson this year with the long-awaited passage of gun safety laws. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association is comprised of law enforcement officers, but it's not a law enforcement group. It's a political group that, according to its website, supports a crackdown on immigration, opposes federal land management and asset forfeiture programs, and is against any limits on gun ownership or sales. There's nothing wrong with that. I agree with them on asset forfeiture. But the problem comes when politics and law enforcement merge. The group argues that because of corruption and bureaucracies at the state and federal levels, sheriffs are the last hope for achieving the above-stated political goals. They seek to place the power of one elected official, them, above that of all other elected officials. The deliberative process upon which our entire democratic system of government is based would become moot. The state legislature, U.S. Congress, and Supreme Court would all be subservient to the mighty county sheriff. In New Mexico, a group of sheriffs with allegiance to this organization say they will refuse to enforce legislation passed this session to tighten background checks on gun purchases. Taking on the role of constitutional scholars, they argue that enforcement of any law that violates their interpretation of the Constitution would be a violation of their oath of office. And so they've announced that they will simply not enforce the new law. More provocatively, they've also dragged the immigration debate into the issue by declaring their counties to be Second Amendment sanctuaries. The unspoken argument is clear. If sheriffs on the left can decide not to enforce immigration laws, why can't sheriffs on the right decide not to enforce new gun laws? Yes, immigration is a federal responsibility, and I understand the need to ensure that local law enforcement maintains the trust of all its residents. But in both instances, you have law enforcement decisions being influenced by political pressures, which is why sheriffs shouldn't be elected, or judges either for that matter. Those are not jobs for politicians. The political process comes at the front end, when senators and representatives are elected and laws are debated in open session. Once those laws are on the books, the political process should no longer be involved in either their interpretation or enforcement. As for what will happen with the new background check law and other gun laws passed this session, my experience in Kansas taught me there are only two options when dealing with a sheriff who refuses to enforce or follow the law. Wait until the next election and hope somebody else wins, or take them to court. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
While Rubel's columns appear in the local viewpoint section at krwg.org, Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.